Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back
to Off Script.
I'm Bree.
I'm Allie.
And this is a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
Yes. Did they go off script? Did they stay on script?
Who knows?
Some of them, sometimes.
Seeing as our podcast is called Off Script and not On Script. I wonder what the majority does.
Could you imagine?
On what a boring script. Podcast if everything was the same. This book and movie were identical for every single one. What would even be the point?
But yes, that's why we're called Off Script.
Mm-hmm. All right. I guess my picture is it's my birthday week.
I was just going to say, that's perfect.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Mm-hmm. I guess we're doing a game night.
Yep. Game night. Thursday, day before. My kids have skate night.
Nice.
Yep. That's it. As far as I know, recording a month in advance. One of Riley's friends' birthdays is January 25th. So my guess is I might be attending a birthday party.
Yes.
So
the joys of turning 32.
No one cares about my birthday anymore. I just have to take my kids to other kids' birthdays.
Allie, you're going to be 32.
I know. Isn't that weird? What was it? Was it Riley who told me how old I was the other day? I said something about being 30. And she's like, Mom, you're 31. I was like, oh, how did I forget that? And like, why did you remember that?
No, I hate remembering that.
I don't know. I've still enjoyed my 30s so far. So let's see what 32 has to offer.
Hey, I went to Dubai in my 30s.
So exactly.
Pretty cool.
I mean, that's super cool.
It's been rough. Parts and pieces here and there, but
oh yeah, there's gotta sprinkle some good in there too. And that, hey, an international trip, that's a big good.
Yeah that was a big good.
So
mm-hmm. big good.
Let's good. See what 32 has to offer, which also if I'm remembering, we're doing Practical Magic this week, which was your birthday podcast that was supposed to come out in August.
Yep.
That's kind of funny.
That's actually hilarious. Wait, are you sure
that we're doing Practical Magic that it was your birthday one?
My birthday one was The Fault in Our Stars. Oh, because I counted it as, you're right, Practical Magic is the one that came out
before.
Yeah,
which I think we talked about. Mm-hmm. What was going to happen for your birthday.
Mm-hmm. Not to confuse you all.
I know. Oh gosh. Anyways, are we ready?
Yes, let's do it.
So here's our synopsis for Mockingjay Part 2. After accepting her role as the Mockingjay, Katniss Everdeen, along with her team, prepares to take the fight straight to the ruthless capital. While her mission is to bring President Snow down once and for all, Katniss finds her squad dies at the hands of either Pods, Mutts, Peacekeepers, or more. Once in the capital, Katniss discovers that there is another threat rising that could decide not only her fate, but the future of Panem. Mm-hmm. I'm getting better at reading those things.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and listened to like season one and I was like, oh gosh.
What was I doing?
All right. We have our author, Suzanne Collins, director, Francis Lawrence, writer, Peter Craig and Danny Strong. So they've been the same for the last three.
Uh-huh.
Oh, very cool.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm pretty sure Mockingjay, they like sat down and did all of it chunk.
Yeah, I think they did.
And then just, yeah,
that split makes it. Sense. And our audiobook reader is Tatiana Maslany. Oh my gosh, another 20. Wait, I didn't update that one. Unless it came out. Oh, it did. No, because it's the same book. What the hell?
What's funny is I was going to make a joke about me because I almost was like, wow, this book came out also the day before my birthday.
Oh my gosh.
And then it clicked. And then you were. That's why I started pointing. And then you thought you missed
it. I forgot I did. I'm like, why wouldn't I have updated the book? Oh my gosh, you guys, because it's the same freaking book as last week. All right. So again, the book came out August 24th, 2010. The movie came out November 20th, 2015. That is a 5-year difference now because the book did not come out a year later because it's the same one.
Exactly.
Gosh.
Yeah. Okay. This is actually a fun fact on my life. This is the only one in the series that I didn't go to the red carpet for.
Wow. You didn't talk about the red carpet at all last one. Oh, I guess you talked about Plutarch.
Yeah, that was for Catching Fire. Oh. Well, because at this red carpet, it did it so weird and fans weren't allowed on the carpet. So if you went, like people got in, I met people who got, or wait, no, I met people at the Catching Fire red carpet and they were getting in T-Mobile's booth because they had won a contest. So like fans were getting in that way, but they weren't doing it like every other premiere where if you showed up, you got on.
Okay.
But they gave you tickets to get you in the theater. And these were the best seats. I actually was like 3 rows back from the screen, which is also where all the producers and directors and everyone sits. So like for this red carpet, I got one signature and that signature is Josh Hutcherson's brother's signature.
Wow.
Because his brother was sitting in the row in front of me. And I was like, you're Connor Hutcherson.
Was he sitting with Josh?
I think the family. I don't think Josh sat there. I didn't see him.
Oh, how but fun,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, I know. I was sitting with all the famous people.
Wow, what a doll.
I gotta act cool.
Can I have your autograph?
To someone who's not even famous. Right. I just know him because his brother's famous.
I bet you made his day.
I think so. He was a sweet little kid. And like, if...
Oh, he was little? He was a little kid?
Yeah, he was a little kid. And you can tell in his signature that like, he hadn't been asked to sign a lot of things before.
So cute.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that was for the last one.
Yeah. But this one, I probably could have. 2015. November 2015? No, I was in. Okay, I graduated in May of 2014. And I was there for 6 months. May, July, August, September, October, November.
You might have just been leaving.
Oh, I was just coming back to Washington.
Oh, bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Just missed it.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we kind of answered this one with our last one because we both read the book first last time, which mm-hmm. means we had to have this time.
Yeah, unless we split it in half. Unbeknownst to us that it would get split into
could you imagine be like, oh, I'm so tired of this book, and then you just stop reading at that perfect stopping split. Point you're like, what,
this is where they what's funny is our initial thoughts are probably the same. I mean, this part is the more fast paced mm-hmm. part, so it's a little bit more fun, but again, I kind of think it almost then feels rushed in this part because we spent so much in the first part dragging everything out.
Yeah, I can see that. When I typed up the notes, I was like, oh, wow, that happened quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I think she could have made almost the whole book this part. Yeah, I was.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Super into it. Like, I think that's why I liked Catching Fire so much mm-hmm. is because I loved seeing the arena.
Yes.
And the game makers' yes. thoughts behind the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had that with the pods. And it's like, wow, that pod splits the earth open. That pod sends tracker jackers. That pod, you know, releases this tar devil wire stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was really cool to see the weird genius devil creations that could come. And so I think that's why I enjoyed this part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we picked this book because it's the last half of
the last one.
Yeah. Intriguing.
Yes. Right, I got some Allie super fun facts for you. Okay. Number one, the cast had to... The cast has said multiple times that the most challenging scene to shoot were in the sewer because it took 3 weeks and the shooting was so physically demanding and it was hot on set and on location in actual sewers. That's gross. Nasty.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
That sucks.
Yeah, poor cast.
I know. Number two, the consoles in District 13 Control Center were originally built for the Mission Control Center in Apollo 13. And they were later acquired by the prop rental house and rented out for this movie. And then several of those same consoles with the badges reading Pan Am and Property of the Capital District Defense Forces were used in Mercury Control Center set of Hidden Figures.
Oh, funny.
So if you have seen Hidden Figures, go look at
their picture and send it to us.
Yeah, go look at their Property of Pan Am consoles in there.
Yeah,
that would be actually really funny. Why wouldn't they fix that before
that's
putting it in the movie?
Stupid. I don't know. Maybe they think that the camera can't pick it up, but it clearly probably did.
Yeah. Number three, director Francis Lawrence stated that because some of the visual effects sequences in the film were so challenging, he and the editors began working on them before The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 was even released.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they filmed it all together. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Now that I'm reading that out loud, I'm like, that is not really a very fun fact.
Like, this is a smart fact.
I like this one, though. Squad 415 is a reference.
415?
451. Guys, I swear I'm dyslexic when it comes to numbers. No joke.
Oh, I am for sure.
No joke. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I almost did it again. 451 is a reference to 451 degrees Fahrenheit is the temperature at which paper burns. So since Katniss is the girl on fire, that's why they did it.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's also a call out to Fahrenheit 451, a dystopian novel by American writer Ray Bradbury.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Have you read it?
No, actually, I haven't. Okay. I want to.
Well, there you go. Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Jennifer Lawrence reportedly made kissing Liam Hemsworth an awful experience. She gargled garlic and tuna fish before shooting scenes with him for the sole purpose of making him uncomfortable because she's a troll and I love her so much.
Yep. Let's go.
All right. So, book kicks off, obviously, right where we left off because it's cut in half. So, we just got PETA back. And now District 13 is working real hard to fix him because hates Katniss. And they don't believe he'll ever be the same again, though. They're like, yeah, they did Tracker Jacker Venom to him. He's gone. But they've been working on him. They sent someone in from his childhood that wasn't a direct link to Katniss. So they sent this girl named Deli, who was a girl that her and PETA kind of grew up together, almost cousin like sort of, like they went to school together and all that sort of stuff. And she's super nice. He asks where they are. And she's like, we're in District 13. There was an accident in 12. And he's like, it was a fire. She did it. She did it. Blah, 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 blah. And screaming that Katniss is a mutt and everything like this. And Katniss tells the leaders, I can't be here anymore. I need to leave because she is hurting so bad seeing PETA like that.
In the movie.
You and I literally had the same video. Like, we were both like, prim?
This part pisses me off so bad. In the movie, they send in Prim, who literally is Katniss's sister. They specifically don't want someone who's connected to Katniss because they want to see if anything from 12 sets him off or if it's just Katniss.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, they send in Prim. And he's fine with her. He's like, oh, hi, Prim. and has a nice civil conversation with her up until Katniss gets brought up. I think that's stupid.
Uh-huh.
Also, before that, when Boggs is talking to Katniss as she's got her neck brace on, he tells her that PETA's been asking why she hasn't come in and talked to him.
I missed that. You're right.
And I was like, this is stupid. Why would he be asking why she hasn't come in to see him yet?
Right.
If he hates her.
And just choked her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then when Katniss tells him that she wants to go to the Capitol, she immediately is like, I gotta go. I have to pay back Snow for what he did to PETA. Whereas she's not very obvious about that in the book.
Right.
She's very secretive, and it's not just what he did to PETA.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he's done to everything.
Everything. She just hates him.
Mm-hmm.
So they send her off to District 2, which is the last district that they need control over before they go and storm the Capitol. And so Katniss is now at 2, and she's been there for a few weeks, and she's working with the rebellion leaders. And she gets random calls from Plutarch and Haymitch saying how PETA's doing. And Plutarch's always like, he's doing better. And Haymitch is like, no, he's pretty much the same. Like, way to go, Haymitch, being honest.
Mm-hmm.
But Prim had the idea to re-hijack him, which with like calming medicine instead of tracker jacker venom. And he's getting confused. So it's like step in the right direction versus just fallen hating Katniss. So that's
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
Gale and Beatty come out, and they're trying to figure out how to take over the mountain, which is also known as the Nut, because Plutarch's like, this is going to be a tough nut to crack, and Katniss tells them, and they're like, we like that. So now the mountain's called the Nut. It's underground, and there's is where all the Capitol's military is, so they really need to get control of that before they can do anything. Gale has the idea to trap the people in there, or like force them to come out, and his vote is trap them all, blow up, make an avalanche come down, it'll cover up the front of the tunnels, and then blow up the other tunnels, and then they can't get out. Katniss hates this idea because her dad, as well as Gale's dad, died in a mining accident, and mm-hmm. that's basically what they're making this happen.
Gale is trying to pitch.
Uh-huh. And so the leader in District 2 is Lime, who was a victor of mm-hmm. District 2 way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And we get some backstory on Gale and when he was crushing on Katniss on New Year's Eve and all this cute little story with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is when him and Katniss kiss. And she's so confused. And he's like, that doesn't count as a kiss then. It's like kissing someone who's drunk. And he's like, you're never going to be into me until we know PETA's okay.
Which should be a clue that she doesn't want to be with you.
I know. Like, I think that was his clue. I think right there, yeah. It was like, he was like, all right, that's it.
I'm done.
Yep.
But then like, I don't like her relationship with either of these guys.
No, after rereading it.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's horrible. It's not love.
Mm-mm.
The movie makes it feel a little bit more like love between Katniss and PETA,
maybe,
especially in this one, but like
even so, not so much at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it makes me upset that she even gets anyone.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Gil and Katniss just randomly kiss before anything is happening, and there's no real reason for Gil to tell her that it's like kissing a drunk person, but he still says this, so then it's weird and you're like, what? Whatever. And then at this point in time, Gale and Beatty are on the hovercraft that is taking Katniss to District 2, which they are not on her hovercraft. And on the hovercraft, this is when they start talking about bombs that they want to create for District 13, which does not happen here.
Mm-mm.
When Lime is talking to them, she's got Coin up on the hologram thing, and they're basically talking to Coin, and Coin literally tells them to use Katniss. She's like, you got the Mockingjay there, use her. In the book, Coin never wants her used.
Coin hates Katniss.
Yes, she wants her as the face of the rebellion, but not to go out into the rebellion.
Mm-hmm. All right, so District 2 and 13 agree to do an avalanche, but not to block the train station so people can escape and surrender. Katniss is feeling absolutely miserable because she's watching this mountain explode. And she can just imagine the chaos going on inside. Haymitch calls her and says, hey, there's good news. Pete is watching you sing, which was never aired. And he's not freaking out about it. The back in the last book when she sang the Hanging Tree song.
Mm-hmm. So it's important because they made it air in the movie.
While that was the video that freaked Pete out mm-hmm. to tell him that 13 was mm-hmm. going to get bombed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So this part doesn't even happen in the book movie. So.
No, it doesn't. She's now told to go make a propo and she goes down to start. And right as she's trying to start making a speech, the district trains come in and everyone begins shooting. She sees a man running up and she sees a man and she runs up to him because he's super injured. And he pulls a gun and she points it at her. And he's like, give me one reason I shouldn't shoot you. She's like, I can't. And then she gives a speech about who the real enemy is. She looks at the monitors to see if she's convinced anyone. And then she watches herself get shot on camera.
So in the movie, Haymitch has gone with her to District 2. And so he's there in person with her. He's not in her ear because he's not giving her an update on PETA because he's already seen that video.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the citizen puts the gun on Katniss, he like grabs her and holds her when really she's supposed to be like walking up to him and he pulls the gun and it makes her stop and kind of like back up. Because
mm-hmm.
then I'm like, how the heck do you get out of this? Like,
I know.
He's got that pointed at your head. And then in the book, no one knows who shoots her. They're like, so much was happening at that time that like,
she knew that it wasn't the guy who originally was pointing at her, but
mm-hmm,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. But they were like, it could have been one of, I forgot what they're called. It could have been one of the people that just came off of the train, or it could have been a different group of people, which I think were just citizens, like capital reinforcements coming mm-hmm. in, but they didn't know. Whereas in the movie, a dude literally stands up and shoots her, and it really looks like it's the dude who she just convinced to not shoot her.
It kind of did look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you also imagine her like in the subway?
No.
Giving this?
No.
She was like on the steps.
She was on the steps outside of a train station, not underground in a subway.
Yes. Okay.
Because they kept telling her to get cover.
Right.
So how are you getting cover if you're already undercover? And then at this point in time too, this is when the Capitol thinks that she's dead as well. The Capitol is dumb and thinks she's dead twice in this.
Really? Yeah. Which, this, I mean, it could have happened.
Yeah.
Right? Because we don't get the Capitol's point of view
right here
in the book.
Yeah.
So, but.
That's true. But you would.
I guess Snow never thought she was dead here. He was like.
Yeah, that's true.
This is when he killed one of his.
People.
People. Because he's like, we're toasting that she's dead.
That's true. You're right.
I just love getting the background on what's happening with Snow, though. It's so interesting.
I actually like Snow. I like him, but I also like him as a bad guy.
Yes, I can see that. So Katniss wakes up in the hospital because she's just been shot, but Johanna's taken her morphling and she's like, what? And she's like, oh, that bullet didn't even hit you. Cinna made sure of that. So, because of course, Cinna made her bulletproof costume. She talks to Plutarch and he's like, we're going to boost morale and there's going to be a wedding. And she's pissed at first. She's like, freaking can't even stand next to PETA and you're going to make us get married. She's thinking this. He's like, oh, no. Annie and Finnick. And then I was really sad at how quick this chapter mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. because it literally was, we're going to do a wedding. Bastion fought a little bit about how elaborate it should be because 13's very like conservative and like save, like, don't be wasteful and everything. And then Plutarch from the Capitol is like big and mm-hmm. everything.
It's like, we got to make this like District 4's kind of wedding.
Uh-huh. And so that was like a paragraph. And mm-hmm. then it was the wedding.
Which was maybe two or three paragraphs.
Yes. And it was like,
ugh. Finnick finally gets his happy.
I know. It was such a cute part. And it was just so fast. And I was just so sad. But.
And in the movie, it didn't do it much justice either.
No, it was a horrendous. But.
Yeah.
Even Katniss was having fun and happy for Finnick at the wedding. I mean, as much fun as she could being a friggin' depressed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the wedding cake was decorated by PETA, which means he's slowly getting better. And Haymitch comes up to her and says, hey, PETA wants to see you. Yeah, I'll pause there because you can talk about Finnick's wedding.
All right. So then basically Plutarch doesn't say anything about a wedding to Katniss. It's just literally like, I can't even remember what scene's right before it, but the very next scene is Finnick and Annie standing in front of a priest, and you're like, oh, they're getting married.
Yeah, it was odd.
Mm-hmm. Super quick. And then they do their dancing thing, and this is where Katniss and Joanna start having a talk that they have during, because Katniss does this whole entire freaking battle training because she wants to be a soldier and they won't let her be a soldier because she hasn't gone to any of her scheduled things. And so her and Joanna, if they want to be soldiers, have to go train. And so her and Joanna talk and are like, even if they don't, we're still going because we need to kill Snow. That whole conversation happens here at the wedding.
We'll find out why in a little bit.
Then she just basically is like, Joanna tells her, don't you want Snow to see you smiling and happy? You should go dance. Mm-hmm. And nothing happens with PETA. You don't see a wedding cake. All you literally see is them do their vows and then the dance and then their wedding is done.
I was so sad. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh. I was already sad at how short it was in the book. And then they made it even shorter in the movie. Haymitch comes up and tells Katniss that PETA wants to see her. And so PETA's pretty snotty. He's like, not PETA at all. But I mean, so is Katniss, but Katniss is always snotty. Mm-hmm. And he's like, do you love me or Gale? Which pissed her off because she's being watched by all these doctors, right? Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want to talk about her love life in front of anybody. Also, she has no idea. So, and finally she leaves and she realizes she's mad because she took PETA for granted when he really did love her and care about her. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. Suck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say, yeah. In the movie, when PETA and Katniss are talking, what gets her pissed off is PETA literally is basically like, I shouldn't have given you that bread.
Oh, yeah.
When we were kids. And then she's hurt. Says, oh, how dare he say that?
That was the pivotal moment of my life.
Yeah.
So Katniss wants to go to the Capitol. This is what we were talking about. And they say no. Because Joanna's shown up to training. So she agrees to do training. And Joanna is also doing training. And Katniss isn't doing great because her ribs are still bruised from getting shot. So her trainer's like, here, take this to the hospital. They'll help you get fixed real fast. It was like one of the most painful medical, I don't even know, futuristic things. They like gave her medicine and healed super fast, but it was super painful.
Nope.
And they eventually get their own rooms out of the hospital because Joanna's like, no one treats us normal. They treat us like patients. So they're bunking together. And Joanna's working on her not being addicted to morphling anymore. And there's one day of training and it's raining. Joanna freaks out. And Katniss is like, what the heck? It's just rain. Mm-hmm. And they go to lunch. And PETA comes to lunch today. And he's in some shackles. Mm.
This doesn't happen. Because after Katniss leaves PETA's conversation, she decides she wants to go to the Capitol and gets told no. And she sneaks onto a plane to go to the Capitol.
Which is why her and Joanna had the conversation at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
When PETA comes to lunch, he like is super snotty to Annie too. And he's like hitting on her and like hitting but not hitting. Like, oh, you Finnick, you better keep her, be nice to her or I might come for her or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, I miss PETA. That was like, I remember the first time reading it. I was like, that was when my heart broke. Was like, he would never treat another. Like, I could see him being pissed at Katniss and saying the things he did. Right.
Yeah.
But to like a girl that just got married, he would never say that. And I was just so sad. I was like, my PETA's gone. But anyways. So Katniss and Joanna did their final test to get so on the squad.
Because to me, that's one of my favorite parts because it's like he's trying to be a part of the group again. And so he makes a joke like that, like, hey.
Well, he sucks. It's not PETA. It makes me so sad. So they do their final test to get on the squad and Katniss passes. And she's because her test was to listen to her instructor when they said, get down. Because her instinct was to go shoot the bad guy. But she's like, oh. Gotta get down. And so she passed. She ran to command and she found out she's on the special ops squad with Boggs and Gale and Finnick and others. And they're getting ready to head out when they learn Joanna is not doing well because her PTSD flared up because she was tortured in water and in her little
training final test.
They brought out water, which freaked her out. So Katniss went out and she got
some... They didn't just bring out water. They freaking flooded the halls for her. Well,
yes. Which is why she won't shower, which is why she hated the rain and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that was... Mm-hmm. That was sad.
Mm-hmm. I know I was sad for Joanna.
I know. So Katniss brings out some... She goes and collects pine needles for her to remind her of home because she's from District 7, which is all the wood and... Mm-hmm. All that. And so, and she had nothing. And I thought that was a really sweet little gesture.
I know. I thought it was sweet too. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope. So they're all prepped and the leaders are explaining about these pods, which are all over the Capitol area. And they have this special map called a hollow, which has all the known pods on it. And it looks like a complete another Hunger Games because every step you take is like almost like a line. What is it called? Landmine. Is that what it's called?
A trap.
Yeah. And Finnick and Katniss make that joke. Welcome to the 76 Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. Their job's really honestly pretty slow because they're the star squad. They're mostly there for video. So they're all like a day behind everybody else. And they just are like doing all the boring stuff. But then here comes PETA.
First off, the movie really tries to fuck things up. It really makes you think that things are... not following the book at all. After she sneaks into the Capitol, Gil's just there already. And he's like, oh, hey, good to see you. Not even like, where'd you come from?
Right.
And she just snuck onto this plane. And then you see Commander Jackson, who is Boggs's right-hand woman in the book. And it makes you think that she's the leader of the group. And then finally Boggs comes. And then Boggs is finally like, but guys, we're just doing it for the TV. And then Finnick comes running out of... Where the fuck did he come from? If Katniss just flew in from District 13 and he just ran from behind Boggs. But he runs up and there he is. And then it is slow work. But you see her shooting bow and arrow and you see all the fire come out. And then PETA comes.
I do like that in the movie when they're like, okay, shoot right there. And then she goes to shoot and they're like, wait, can you get... And she's like telling her camera crew, get in a little closer. And like, Katniss is just so irritated. She's just like,
this is dumb.
Yep.
Also in the book, Katniss is very much so trying to get the hollow on her own. And she's coming up with plans for how she's going to sneak off. Mm-hmm. In the movie, she tells Gale and is like, Gale, you need to help me. And he's like, okay, yeah, we got to get the hollow so that we can go and do that.
So now that PETA's here, they're very hesitant and angry at first. They're like, why the heck do they bring him? Like, he's still in shackles. Like, what is happening right now? And Boggs and Katniss get a chit chat for a little bit. And he shares that, hey, Katniss, if you don't support Coin as future leader, you're a threat. So PETA might have been sent here to kill you. Like, he never says that, but that's mm-hmm. kind of the implication. Yeah. Thanks for finishing my word.
I know. You got so close. I was like...
Oh man. The squad starts talking to PETA and they start a game called Real or Not Real, where he asks something and they tell him if it really happened or it's not real. Pretty obvious. And so they make some propos, and then there was a pod that they didn't know about and it exploded and it blew Boggs' legs off. Oh, trigger warning, it's a violent book.
After you say that. Good job.
Oh gosh.
In the movie, one of my favorite parts is that Finnick is like, because Finnick has been dealing with Annie, who is basically off her rocker. He's the one who's there for PETA right away. He's like, oh, everybody relax. Like, it'll be fine. And then he's always like there to help PETA when he needs help or talk him through things. And I like seeing that. Mm-hmm. Oh, during the real or not real thing, he basically asks Katniss about like if she's ever wanted to kill him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And because he remembers her cutting the Tracker Jacker nest, and he's like, that seemed pretty real when you cut the Tracker Jacker nest. Mm-hmm. And she was like, nah, that was for your whole group, not just you. In the movie, he like tells her, rather than because of the Tracker Jacker nest, he says, I saw it in your eyes that you wanted to kill me. I was like,
she was up in a tree.
Yeah, how could you see it in her eyes?
So chaos breaks loose, right? Their commander is dying now. So they're trying to figure out what to do. And Boggs immediately tells Katniss to get the map. And he puts her in command of it by being like, unfit for command. Katniss Everdeen, blah, 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 blah. And this tar stuff starts to flow. And PETA then jumps on Katniss and tries to kill her. And the other crew try to save her. And he throws one of them off. And he ends up getting thrown in this tar, which then is like barbed wire. Like, he's dead. Finnick knocks PETA out and they run from the tar. And once they're in a safe place, Boggs tells Katniss, don't trust anyone and kill PETA. And then he dies. Then they see this bombing where, oh no, then they run because they got to keep going. And they see this bombing where Boggs, they left him. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the TVs turn on because they're inside a house right now. And it's footage from the Capitol saying that their squad is dead. And they all agree, we got to move while they think we're dead, because this is not going to last forever.
This basically happens. The one thing that's different is Boggs dies basically right after he transfers the hollow to Katniss.
Uh-huh. And then they
don't carry him.
No, but then they start the shooting with the leagues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The peacekeepers are shooting them right there.
Yeah. So they run off. But one of their squad's legs is hurt. So she, their sister. So they stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And they start shooting the peacekeepers. And then they bomb that. And that's when they're like, we killed them.
Mm-hmm.
So PETA saw how he acted on the TV and saw that he tried to kill them. And he ended up killing one of their squad. And he's like, you got to leave me, or you have to kill me. And they're like, we're not going to do that.
Oh, that's the other thing. When Boggs dies, he tells PETA, or tell PETA, tells Katniss, if the time like comes that you need to kill PETA, but he doesn't flat out say that you need to do it in the book. Whereas in the movie, he's like, you got to kill PETA.
Right. Right.
It's like, oh, homeboy, chill.
Wait, in the book, he tells him.
He doesn't say it outright. He says that, like, when the time comes, you should do it. Not a, you need to do it. Whereas in the movie, it's basically like Boggs is saying, right after I give you this hollow, you need to go and kill him.
Oh, got it. Got it. Okay. So now they're looking for food in this refugee, like, or they're, and they took refuge from Atlanta for a little bit in this Capitol house that they're at. And they all agreed not to kill PETA. And Snow comes on to make a speech about how Katniss is dead and all the rebels just should stop, but it gets interrupted because the President Coin comes on and introduces herself and gives Katniss's eulogy. And they agree they need to start moving, though, because they're about to figure out that they're not there. Or did they heard them out there looking? What was it? Why'd they start moving so fast? They just needed to move?
Because Katniss told them that Coin had given them, or given her, a special mission to kill Snow. And so she just wanted to go.
Okay. So she's just like, let's go.
Yeah.
All right. So it's later when they realize, oh, they know we're not dead yet. Okay. So they go underground because Pollux used to live there, because that's where the Avoxes used to be banished to. This is when they're kind of in the sewery areas. And Katniss begins hearing this hissing sound, saying her name over and over. Katniss. That'd be so scary. And she freaks out because she realizes PETA is also saying it. So she goes to shoot him when he snaps out of it and is like, Katniss, you need to run.
In the movie, PETA is not saying her name. He just wakes up from a dream and is like,
he said her name like twice, but it was like sleep saying it. Not like,
not Katniss.
Not the creepy.
Yeah, I pictured him saying it like the lizards say it.
I do too.
Not just regular.
Mm-hmm. So they start running. And they're able to knock off a few pods on the way because they have the hollow and they know where they are. But some they didn't. So all these pods start going off, and one of them like basically makes your skin melt off like wax. Then these mutts come and they smell like roses. They look like lizard people. They're like chalky white.
Did you picture them like the movie? Because I pictured them more like lizards than like people.
I guess I pictured them like Skyrim Argonians.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
Except white.
Oh, it makes sense. These just, to me, look like people without noses.
They looked like aliens.
Creepy fucks.
Yeah, they were scary as hell.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is a horror movie. Literally, now
my entire reaction video is me reacting to the mutts. Like, I have... I have all these videos, but then it's like, I'm just sitting there waiting for the Mets and I just keep commentating as they're going. So go to our YouTube for like all my other reactions, you guys.
Yeah.
TikTok and Instagram, you're only going to get the
little bits.
Little bits. Oh, gosh. Anyways, they were scary.
Yeah. And they're also supposed to be hissing her name this whole entire time that they're chasing after her. But in the movie, they want to give you some jump scares. So they stop.
Mm-hmm. It worked.
For some people.
Yes. So these things kill peacekeepers. They kill rebels. They kill anyone in their way trying to get to Katniss. And Jackson and another member stay back and they try and shoot them as long as they can. They get to the point where they can climb up this ladder and they start climbing and she hears someone down below screaming and she looks down and it's Finnick and he's getting torn up and I was so sad. And she says Nightlock.
Keep going.
She says Nightlock. Okay, does she say Nightlock three times? Is the hollow in the book too? That's what explodes?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't really remember that. Mm-hmm. She says Nightlock three times, drops the hollow, it explodes so that he dies as well as all these Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Gale's
in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she could have shot the lizards with bows and arrows and let him keep climbing up. Like how it was when she first realized it. I was like, girl, you could have saved him. Whereas in the movie, I pictured he was too far away from the ladder to be saved.
I guess, but by the time she would have got it out, he had already fallen and smacked hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked he didn't freaking break his back and die right there for... Because he like smacked hard.
Well, he wasn't supposed to do that.
No, he was not. But yeah, she could have probably shot something.
Mm-hmm.
So Gale's all torn up too. Like his throat is gashed open and everything. Right? This, and they're running into a Capitol building, and like a house. Mm-hmm. And Katniss shoots someone because she's about to scream for help, and then they decide to get all dressed up in their outfits, and PETA's told them kill me because I'm like about to not handle it anymore, and Katniss kisses him and it calms him down.
Why is this chick kissing PETA and Prudent Gale?
That's all I thought. Uh-huh. I was so mad they didn't show Gale's face in the movie.
I know.
I was like,
here's your perfect opportunity to show this.
I know.
Yeah, but yeah, that basically happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Gale's neck is his neck super bad? Oh,
no,
he's
not injured. No, okay. They don't really get injured from the things that Super Finnick dies.
I guess they do say he needs stitches, but it's like he's like about to pass out. Yeah. He's lost so much blood in the book.
Oh, that's why it doesn't matter if she kisses him in the book.
Oh, because he's almost dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the movie, though, I don't know why. Should have showed his face.
Right? Well, no. In the movie... Was it even right there? Or it was like before they even ran away from the Mutts? Was that where it was in the book too? I couldn't remember. I threw it right there.
No, it was right.
It was right there.
Yeah.
It was all. Yeah. So it's all in the same spot.
Yeah.
So they dressed in these Capitol clothes. They blend in. Cressida's like, I know somewhere that we might be able to help. They went to this shop with owner named Tigresses, which, mind blown.
Oh, because you just started it.
I just started.
That's funny.
Snakes and Songbirds, or Songbirds and Snakes.
Yeah.
Like part of me is like, I wish we read that one first.
Mm-hmm. I know, because it is the sequel or the prequel.
But I understand why we didn't, because now it's okay, because I wouldn't have caught stuff like that either, because mm-hmm. it's been so long.
Yeah.
Wondering what we're talking about? Come back next week.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
So she hides them in the basement, and she used to be a costume designer for the games, but Snow let her go. And Gale and Peter are chatting because Katniss is supposedly asleep. And Gale shares that she's going to choose whoever she thinks she can't survive without. Which right there, I think Gale is full on like, even if she chooses me, I'm over it.
Yeah. Good for you, Gale.
Because
who wants to be in that relationship?
I know.
That right there should have been both of the boys is like, we out.
Yep. Yep.
I also don't like how in the movie Katniss like wakes up and looks over and then it's like and pretends to be asleep again.
She's super sly.
Yeah.
So Capitol refugees who have had to evade their homes because the rebels are coming are allowed to take refuge in the mayor's mansion. And so their plan is to have Gale and Katniss blend in and go along inside the mansion to kill Snow. PETA is planning on going to make a distraction. Gale gives him a Nightlock pill just in case he gets captured again. And as they head out, all of these pods start going off and everyone's getting shot. And it's like,
hold on.
What?
You're explaining the movie, kind of. So first off, at this point in the book, the rebels have now been sending in trucks to go down the streets to set the pods off because they're trying to clear out the pods so that there's a clear path for them to get into the capital.
Right.
Also, the Snow makes an announcement that as well as his mansion, now shops have to take in refugees too.
Right.
So now everyone needs to get out of there because refugees are going to be coming in to the store, Tigris's store.
Sorry,
I called her Tigris, not Tigris. I think it's Tigris. But the movie never tells you we're naming this one.
I think the audiobook reader says Tigris.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, all of that happened. I just was trying to sum it up. Sorry.
Well, I don't like it because the rebels never come to clear out the roads in the movie. So they're
pods in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't like that.
And then the shop owners aren't made to take in refugees. So PETA and Pollux and Cressida stay behind with Tigris because they can.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But Gail still gives him Nightlock. Because this shop's going to be so scary.
I think his plan was to leave, but he didn't. So why did he give him Nightlock then?
In case the Capitol got him. Because you're hidden in a store and the Capitol's going to find you, dude.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, anyway, so all these pods start going off. It's a mix of peacekeepers and rebels that start shooting each other. And one pod that went off, like there's a bunch, but one major one that went off broke the ground like in half. Right. And like Katniss almost falls in and then she looks over. She gets up and she looks over and Gale, only way he can get up is by breaking this door open. He's holding onto the door handle. And so she shoots it off and or whatever. Something somehow he gets in, but he's captured by peacekeepers. Another one I thought was in the movie. Wow, I didn't realize how many there were. Well, so he gets taken by peacekeepers and he's yelling at something at her and she has no idea what he's yelling. And finally, as it's too late, she's like, oh, he was saying, shoot me. Oh, shoot. Mm-hmm. Darn. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have his Nightlock pill because he gave it to PETA. Good thing. He probably would take it right there and died.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And so then they're at the they're going up. Katniss is running because she's like, I got to finish this now. And they get to the city center and she sees all these kids at the gate to get in. And this Capitol hovercraft comes and they drop parachutes and they're like, oh, medicine and food because we're so much in pain and starving. But it's explosives. And so there are freaking like dead children all over now. And who comes to help? But of course, the rebel doctors, because they're impartial. They're just doctors. They want to help everybody. And one of them is Prim. And she runs out there to save him. And Katniss is like, Prim, and runs to her. And an explosion happens before she can save her.
I think my least favorite part about the series is the fact that it's all moot. Like, I'm all for the hero not getting her way, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But why kill the thing that she's been trying to save this whole time? Kill Katniss. Don't kill Prim.
Oh, I agree with killing Katniss, but in a little bit.
No, it really...
Do you agree with killing Prim, though? I think it is a twisted turn of events because it all kicked off with her wanting to save Prim and now Prim and died anyways. Yeah. Like, it's very twisted and depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, technically this whole series is... So
I'm gonna stop us.
You got nothing compared to that?
My main thing is that when she's up in her vantage point in the movie, she gets blown down from it with that first bomb, whereas in the book she doesn't get blown down. It's the she sees Prim and starts to go after Prim.
The ground also does not explode open.
Yeah.
Gale just gets taken normal.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot all about that part. Yeah. Gale gets taken as normal. She can hear him saying to shoot him.
Yes.
And she still doesn't.
Yes. There's no pods. Because they describe some cool pods. I mean, not cool. That's pretty depressing. All these people dying. But like very like, well, how does someone think of these type of pods? Okay. All right. So Katniss got severely burned. Like, she is...
They had to make grafts of new skin for her.
Mm-hmm. Like, and it is like raw pink still and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. The mansion won. So the rebels are...
Mansion won?
The mansion has been won by the rebels. Let me read my notes correctly. And she's basically labeled as a mental AVOX because she should be able to talk, but she, like, her brain is not, like, she's mute. She does not want to talk because her little sister just died. She decided, you know what, I'm going to go get a rose so I can pin it on Snow's shirt when I kill him. And she goes to his rose garden, and at first there's guards there, and they're like, you're not allowed in here. And the leader of eight says she can go in. She's allowed to anything behind that door. She goes in and Snow is there. And he and her chit-chat a little bit. And he's like, ah, it's a pity that, you know, our coin is so smart. Using those hovercrafts, make them look like the Capitol. So then the Capitol turns on me, even though it was her idea, blah, 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 blah. She's like, I don't believe you. He's like, oh, Miss Everdeen, I thought we agreed never to lie to each other. And so now she's just going through like, oh my gosh, what's the truth?
In the movie, Katniss is not severely burned, and she does not go into a catatonic state. She's very talkative. And then Effie takes her to the mansion, because they're taking her to the mansion to put her there for some reason. Don't know why.
This is when Effie comes back, though, right? Or she come back when they go to 12. Doesn't she come back at the book?
At, like, close to the end.
The very, very end. Yeah. She does make her little appearance.
Yeah.
But I forgot to put that in my notes. So. Mm-hmm. All right. So... Katniss can't figure out what happened, but she's starting to think about it. And she remembered Gale and Beatty were talking about traps, like creating big traps for large groups of people. She was like, why would Prim be on the front line? She was only 13. She needed to at least be like, what, 18 or whatever to be on the front lines. But why is she there? And all of these little, this doesn't make sense. But she couldn't believe it. She didn't want to believe it. So life goes on and she tries to talk to Haman. She's not helpful. And her prep team tries to make her pretty, but she is so burned they're scared to touch her. Coin brings all the victors together for a vote. And Coin wants to do another Hunger Games, but with the Capitol children, because some people want to kill all of them. So she's like, this will end up saving lives. Oh, and one of the things that Snow said is, why would I do that? Well, I'm not wasteful with lives. And so this is her saying, I'm saving lives. So it's another connection between her and Coin and Snow. And so the victors have to vote if they want to do another Hunger Games. So PETA's automatically no. And then I think Annie said no. And she said no for Finnick. And
they're like, Joanna's not here.
He's not here because of Snow. So yes. And a couple others said yes. And then it was down to Haymitch and Katniss. And Katniss said yes. But she was like really thinking about it. And then Haymitch just looked at her and went with her because, you know, they got their little secret conversations going on.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, why did she only say it? Because she wanted to keep Coin on her good side and not keep her questioning her?
No, I think she truly wanted Hunger Games.
Oh,
because Prim died and she's like, fuck it, if this is gonna kill the Capitol's kids, I want this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think
she legit wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That doesn't seem very Katniss to me.
No. I think this whole part is stupid. I want to believe that it was so Coin would be like, oh, that would be stupid too, because
it was never explained either way.
Mm-hmm.
So take it how you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Katniss goes to shoot Snow, but she's like, And she moves her bow and arrow and shoots Coin instead. And Snow is just laughing, but he's coughing because he's not taking antidote anymore. So he's dying of the whatever poison that he's ingested all his life.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to take her nightlock pill, but PETA stops her. And the guards block Snow as they take Katniss away.
Is this where you think she should die?
This is where I think she should die. Mm-hmm. I think she should have got shot right here. Mm-hmm. And then we could have done an epilogue from PETA's point of view.
Yeah.
Because I think she should have got shot right here. Because the whole rest of it, if she died and the rest was written, then she ends up winning because she wants to die the rest of the book.
Yeah, that's true.
But right here, I mean, she still sort of does want to die because Prim died. I think this would have been a perfect.
Yeah. Tie it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Plus then I just feel bad for PETA. PETA's in this relationship where he's like, yeah, I love her.
I know.
But also I kind of don't.
I don't know what's real.
Mm-hmm. The main difference here is in the book, they give Katniss just one arrow because it's supposed to signify that she's got a good shot. And then she realizes it's also because she's really close to Snow and she's like, no way could I miss this. But in the movie, she's got her full sheath of arrows.
Mm-hmm. She should have just shot both of them. Yeah, because then the whole crowd, is this how it happened in the book? That all the mm-hmm. crowd went up and like,
mm-hmm.
that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Because they say that they don't know what killed Snow. They don't know if it's that he got stampeded by people, that he died of his poisoning or of the peacekeepers.
Okay. So she's brought to the hospital because her skin is all torn up because she was fighting the guards. And Haymitch said they're sending her back to 12 and he's coming with her. And she passed the trial because she's deemed crazy, basically. And Greasy Say is at her house, who was someone who worked in the Hob way back in the first
book,
and second book.
Yep.
And she's making her food and keeping her company. And soon PETA shows up because he's let go from the hospital and he found Primrose and he wants to plant it with her. And Katniss is like, oh, maybe I do love you. And they go off. She goes off hunting and she sees Buttercup and she's yelling and saying, she's dead. Go away. And she's just crying. And we find out Gale got a job in District 2. And Katniss and PETA end up apparently falling in love. They create this book of all the dead tributes and to honor them and all the people that died in the war.
In the book, Plutarch came to talk to Katniss too.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who explained everything to her
mm-hmm.
about like, there's no trial or we just had you on trial and this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. In the movie, because Philip Seymour Hoffman died, they turned it into a letter that Plutarch gave to her.
Dude, how hard would that have been to act?
Mm-hmm.
I've just been crying.
Mm-hmm. I know. I would have too. In the movie, there's also no trial for Katniss. It's just fine. Also, Katniss goes hunting before PETA even shows up. And so when she comes back from hunting, that's when she sees PETA.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not really like... Literally, in the book, she's so catatonic. It's like, wow, she shouldn't even be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the movie, she's a human.
And then we have our epilogue with Katniss and PETA. They had two kids together 15 years later because she didn't want kids. And he kept was like, I want kids. So she eventually gave in and gave him kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's love.
Mm-hmm. 15 years later, I'll give you a kid.
Oh my gosh.
But also 15 years later, it's supposed to be two children who are like old enough to be playing together. Whereas in the movie, it's one toddler and one baby. But it's because she has this whole thought process in her head about how she doesn't want her kids to have to go in the Hunger Games. But in the movie, she says it all to her baby.
Mm-hmm. And they were flipped in eight. Like the boy was mm-hmm. first and the girl was in her arms, whereas mm-hmm. the girl is supposed to be first. And the boy is younger. Mm-hmm. Why?
Mm. I don't know.
Like, it would have been cuter for PETA to be playing with a little girl than
a little boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Made no sense.
No.
Whatever. And you guys, that's it. The Hunger Games
is almost over.
Trilogy is over. And yes. Now we have the prequel next week. So
yes. Stay tuned for that.
Yes. But before that, we have some casting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 179 people.
Yeah.
We're going to chit chat about Jennifer Lawrence again because she is not in the next one.
No, she's not.
Because she's not alive yet.
Yep. She's not there.
Nope. She plays Katniss.
She does it good.
I think so. I think she grew with the character throughout mm-hmm. it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Same with Josh Hutcherson.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
PETA. He was able to play mean PETA pretty good.
Oh, it made me sad. It so good. Yeah. I loved it.
Yes. We also have Willow Shields as Primrose Everdeen.
She's such a sweetheart. She's, I love her.
Like, exactly what I picture for mm-hmm. Prim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's perfect.
Yep. Donald Sutherland as President Snow.
Oh, he's so good.
So good.
I love him.
I know.
He's so good.
I don't know. I guess it makes sense now. Because, like, I think the first time I read it, I didn't really know what I pictured age-wise.
Yeah.
And then the movie came out and I was like, okay, that's what I pictured. But like reading it again, I still don't think, I was like, is he that old? But then obviously if he was in 65 years ago, he was 18. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's all matches.
That fits.
Yeah. We got Sam Claflin is Finnick O'Dare.
Oh, I love him.
He's so cute, so too.
Much.
I know.
I can now finally tell my story about
him. Yes, I've been waiting.
I know. So at the red carpet, I was just praying because for the fan camp, I knew that they would bring some stars. I was like, I just want Sam to be here. That's the only one I care about. If he's at one of these signings, I'll be happy. And like they started the day with like, it was Glimmer and the guy who plays her brother or whatever and all that. And I was like, I just want Sam. And then they brought, it was Sam, Jenna, and Jeffrey all at the table. Finnick, Joanna, and Beatty. I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh. But then because there were three of them at the table, I was nervous. I was like, I didn't want to be holding my book. Because I wanted him to have to sign my shirt. I didn't want to have something else for him to sign. But then I was like, but if I don't have my book, the next two aren't going to have anything to sign. So then I was like, I was going to have my friend hold it. But then I was like, but then that's like, as we're, because they try to make you go down the line quick. Mm-hmm. So I was like, so I would be stopping to turn around and be like, can I get my book back? So right. I was like, okay, so I just got to go up. Then I was like, what if he doesn't want to sign your shirt? Like, if he doesn't want to, don't make him.
Right. Like, you have to. I didn't bring anything else.
This is for you. So, but then I went up and I was like, hi. And he was like, hello. And he's British, you know, so. Hello there.
Our British listeners are so
thrilled with my accent there. But, and I asked him, I was like, can you sign my shirt in the heart? Because we made a rope heart. And he was like, oh, of course. Then he stood up and was like, excuse me. As he held my shirt so he could sign it.
So he wouldn't sign on your boob.
Yeah. And then he complimented my shirt because he loved it so much. He was like, this shirt is so cool. Did you make it? And I was like, yeah. I was really proud. I'm a big pun person. I love puns. And Sierra came up with the best one. She had texted me at one day in college and ever since then, that's all I wanted. Like, it was my favorite pun. So we put it on the back of my shirt because it's, where's Finnick? Oh, dare he is.
That's actually a meme I found that is coming out today, you guys.
And he read it in his Finnick voice, and it was the best thing ever. And as he was sitting down, he was like, that shirt is so cool. And I was like, thanks. Oh wait, because before this, after he signed my heart, I was like, and can I get a hug? Because I wanted a hug from him, and I assumed it would be an over the table hug. Mm-hmm. If he did it, and he was like, yeah, of course. And he moved around the table to give me a full-on hug. Wow. I was like, so then after that, I was not there. So I meet Jenna. This is why I met her and didn't put it together that she was from Donnie Darko. Right. And then and Jeffrey is standing there because me and Sam have now had like a long moment. So they're just waiting for me to come through to get my book signed by mm-hmm. them. And so Jeffrey's sitting there and he's like, that is actually a really cool shirt.
Aww. I was like,
thanks. I don't even care about anything else. But then the next morning, I got a text from Sierra because I obviously sent Sierra a picture. Uh-huh. I sent her a picture of the hug. I sent her a picture of the signature, blah, blah, blah. And she texted me to wake me up the next morning because she was really good. She wasn't with me at the fan camp, but she would text me every morning to make sure I was awake for whatever event was happening for fan camp.
Oh.
Yeah. So I wake up to where's Finnick? Oh, dare he is on your shirt.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, then we have Steph Dawson as Annie.
She's so sweet.
She was cute.
Yeah, I liked her.
They didn't have her crazy in the movie.
But... yeah. No, she was not nearly crazy enough.
But they didn't
give
her enough stuff to make it make sense either, though.
But then that also is really stupid why Finnick's in the hospital, but whatever. I mean, I guess because she's in the capital, but to me, he is mainly worried about her because he knows that she's not all there. And so he's like, great, the capital's just going to make it worse.
Yeah. So we have Jenna Malone as Joanna Mason.
She did so good. I saved her for this one because I wanted to talk about her crazy.
Because she was in the book a whole lot in this one, but she was in the movie almost none. Mm-hmm. And we forgot that.
Yeah. Yeah. She does look crazy. And more power to her because I feel like she actually did shave her head for this.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we have Julianne Moore as President's Queen.
She does so good.
She does.
I also read right after Philip had died, mm-hmm. that she was the one who was affected by it the most because she had been a friend of his for so long.
Aww.
So then, like, in her scenes, there's some where she's very, like,
teary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
We have Mahershala. Mahershala.
Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala. I don't even know where that extra S to make that sound came from.
My favorite part about this is I was about to say his name right when you started Masher.
You guys, why do I bother? I'm getting better on reading everything except names. I will never be good at reading names, and I just, you need to know that about me. So I apologize to everybody out there.
Hopefully Mahershala Ali is not listening.
Or if he is, he gets a kick out of that.
Like Idina Menzel.
Right. Did she think it was funny? I can't remember. She was like annoyed.
She has been, she actually was just, so Josh Gad is on a Broadway play right now. I think it's Gutenberg. It's okay. Gutenberg play. And so every night, basically it's this story about this dude who wants to get his play made. And so he's pitching it to producers and the producers watching it. And then at the end comes out and it's like, this is great. You have your play. And every night they have a new famous person come out as the producer. And so one night she came out and she, as she was like giving him the thing, she was like, on behalf of, and then she said, however John Travolta said her name, Productions.
Oh, how funny.
So I'm assuming she thinks laughed.
It's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Mahershala. Did I say it right?
Mahershala.
I said it right that time. Okay. Yeah. I hope you agree. He was Boggs. Did we say that part yet?
No, not yet. He did so good.
He's so good.
I love him as Boggs.
I don't think that's how I pictured him when I read it. But
he is
now
Boggs.
I picture it no matter what.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Eugene Bondurant is Tigress.
They did good.
Mm-hmm.
Tigress has no lines, which makes me upset.
I know, because she's like talks in the book.
Mm-hmm. She's supposed to, but nope.
Then we have Patina.
Patina Miller.
Oh, okay. She's Commander Paler. She was the leader of District 8, and she's important in this one because she became the leader of Pan Am. We didn't say that part, but she was, yeah, I think she was good.
Yeah, I think she did great.
Then we have Michelle Forbes for Lieutenant Jackson.
I think she did really good.
I think so, too.
She's got a very strong, like, commander.
She's a BA.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Gwendolyn Christie is Commander Lime.
I love her. They should have gave her more lines.
She literally had three lines.
Yeah, poor thing. Yes. But my other Game of Thrones character coming in.
I know.
Brienne.
Yeah.
Which I love because that's my name, kind of.
Minus the
Yeah, exactly. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Kill the president.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do the characters stay true in the movie to how they are written in the book?
Not Joanna.
No, not Joanna.
Not Annie.
Nope, not Annie.
Yeah, the rest of them?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Which do you prefer?
I like the book.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you about to be shocked again?
I'm going to be sad again.
I prefer the movie.
Even the second half where it gets more action?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they didn't have enough pods in the movie.
Yeah, I don't care about the pods.
That was the coolest part.
No.
Oh, man.
No, I'm all for the movie. Couldn't you tell? Like, you kept jumping in our comparison and being like, well, they forgot this and this. Yes. And I was like, you want to have that note in here.
It's very true. There's your little guy's little tip. If Bree's forgetting a bunch of stuff, she's probably going to choose the movie. Yep. That's funny. We did this one quick.
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
I had a feeling we would.
I mean, it's half of a book, so it makes sense. Rate us, subscribe, review us.
Share us with your friends and family.
Yes, please.
Tell everyone to listen to us.
Say, hey, I have some girls that I listen to that are really funny. They can't say names at for shit.
Yeah. It's fun to listen to sometimes.
Just sometimes. And then Wednesday, we got Practical Magic.
Yeah, guys, let's see how that one goes.
Well, that was an interesting comparison.
That actually really was.
But we had fun little tidbits and fun off-script field trips in that one.
Yes, we did.
So come listen.
Yeah.
And then Monday, we have Ballads of Songbirds and Snakes.
Yeah.
Final installment of Hunger Games series.
Yeah, we'll be done with the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Here soon.
I'm excited to read it. I'm only like a chapter in right now. Well, I think I'm really excited because I wish in Catching Fire, I wish two things. Either that I saw Haymitch, how he acted in the games, or that we had the outside view of what it's like to be a mentor. So I'm excited to see the mentor side of it, but then I don't know how similar it is to how it would be 76 years versus 10 years.
Very different, since this is the first year that they're doing the mentor
right
thing. Also,
it's no. All right, so with that, Mockingjay Part 2
went off script.
Bye. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.